The Ten Commandments give us a lot of trouble these days. A lot of political capital is made both here in South Africa and, I believe, in the United States around the Ten Commandments, placing them there as those things society must obey or fall apart. Jewish commentators, on the other hand, find it rather unfortunate that English speakers have used the word commandments to describe these words to Moses from the mouth of God. They call them devarim, or simply the words. I think a better concept in the English would be the checklist, the divine checklist. Because the 10 words are based in a relationship. They are founded on the covenant relationship between God and his people. A relationship that has two primary aspects. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. This inclusion of communal responsibility into the covenant that God gives to Moses and the people is still central to our understanding of the faith and to our understanding of the way in which God works. And it is also central to the understanding which underlies the Devarim, the words given to Moses. The checklist, if you will. Because what it forces us to do is to use these notions to examine our lives and examine our consciences. Just bear with me for a moment and let's go through them. I have worshipped other gods. I've taken out extra insurance, I've done my feng shui, I've read my horoscope every morning. In other words, I have transgressed that wish. However, if my love for God was complete and unquestioned, then I shall not worship other gods. I have lied this week. If my life did regard my neighbor as myself in the light of my relationship with God, then I wouldn't lie. So where things go wrong on the checklist, it's an indication that the fundamental relationship, the fundamental part of the covenant, needs to be looked at rather than we slavishly obey without that fundamental relationship being in place. And that's where I have difficulties in people who wave around the Ten Commandments and say, you must do this. No, they are not commandments, they are consequences of the integrity of our relationship with God and the integrity of our relationship with each other. They are the checklist about another set of relationships. The relationships we have with God and the relationships we have with one another. For instance, you might claim not to lie, but that's only to your own in-group. Your foreign policy, of course, can lie to anybody, barefaced, left, right, and center, and that's a good thing. Or is it? Is it a good thing? When the fraternity of humanity, when the community of humanity is sacrificed on the altar of us and them, and the Ten Commandments do not allow us of that. This checklist does not allow us. Everyone is my neighbor, even the ones who would seek to harm me, so I must find better ways in relating to them. You shall not covet. Well, that usually means some clear and direct things. However, if you have the fullness of the relationship with God, and you have that just relationship with your neighbor, there is nothing left to covet. So these 10 words, the Decalogue, the 10 consequences, the checklist, are simply ways for us to return to that fundamental relationship. They are symptoms and not answers. if my relationship with God and neighbor is upright, then I shall not lie, I shall not steal, I shall not commit adultery, I shall not commit murder, I shall not desire. And the Hebrew is very clear on this, because they are not imperatives. They fall into the linguistic form, which has been translated in English, shall, thou shalt not, but could be would. If you love God, you would not lie. If you love God, you would not steal. If you love God and neighbor, you would not murder. Would is as accurate a translation of that Hebrew form as the shalt of the older English. So the Ten Commandments are not the answer to society. They are simply the way in which we can make the diagnosis of our society. And even more fundamental, the purpose of the Ten Commandments is all summed up in the very heart of Deuteronomy, where in Deuteronomy 15 verse 4, immediately after verse 1 starts with the release of all debts every seventh year, and the fact that those debts must be released from your fellow Israelite, although it allows a little bit of wobble room in other directions, the scripture makes this dramatic and searing statement. Because the Lord will be generous to you, there shall be no poor among you. So that phrase becomes the checklist for the function of the whole of society. If the whole of society is living their relationship with God in integrity, and they're living the responsibility of neighbor with integrity, there shall be no poor people. Or in the way that I've cast it for the Decalogue, there would be no more poor people. And we can see then that Jesus' statements in the New Testament are not a statement of fact or allowance. They're a statement of criticism. For when in John's Gospel Jesus is at the supper at Bethany and the woman comes in and anoints his feet with the very expensive ointment, Judas turns around and says, this should have been sold and given to the poor. And Jesus immediately turns to Judas and says, to him you will have the poor among you always. Why? Why would Judas have the poor with him always? Because earlier on John has revealed to us that Judas used to embezzle the common money that he held in sacred trust for Jesus and his apostles. Because Judas's relationship even with Jesus and the apostles was not right and did not have integrity, that led to poverty somewhere for someone. And Jesus uses that phrase, you shall have the poor among you, as a critique, not as an allowance. That arises then from that fundamental verse in Deuteronomy 15:4. There shall be no poor among you. Fundamental to the Ten Commandments, the checklist of our personal relationship with God and with each other, are also the relationships we use to shape and form our society. And if the shape and the form of that society in any way increases poverty and allows some people wealth without responsibility, then we are not fulfilling the desire of God. We are not fulfilling the purpose of our love. If you love God and neighbor, you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall have no other gods, and there shall be no poor among you. Amen.